up? This is Movies On Up. Get up, live your day, get killed again. The man who is always up for some good podcasting is seated right across from me. That is Mr. Dave Vasella.
I'd settle for just killing me once. I'm not going to get greedy. Just give me that sweet, sweet darkness just once.
Do it well one time. We don't need to do it again. That is Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Get up, live your day, get killed again is our tagline for this episode. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Or you can tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct. And if we choose you, you will have a happy day receiving a prize package from your mailbox. We are in the tail end of week two of our Spooktober Halloween celebration month. Earlier in the week, you found out the tree from Happy Death Day made our list of our favorite final girls of all time.
Pretty low, if we were going by favorites, yes, but we talked about it, the justification.
It's going to come out in this episode just how much we love that character and love Jessica Roth. But the scientific data crunching, the analytics, the money ball of
the physics behind it. Which we'll also get into on this episode.
Yeah, believe it or not, yes. All of that turned her a little bit lower than we thought. But we did want to follow up her inclusion in that list with an episode with Happy Death Day to you. That movie came out, it seems like, so early in the year that it couldn't possibly have been in 2019. But it certainly was. It came out February 13th.
Yeah, just almost 2 years to the date of the first one.
The first one came out on October 13th.
Oh, was it October?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were both Valentine's movies.
No.
Oh, that's my mistake.
The first one came out Friday the 13th of October, which is why I saw it to begin with. This one, they got another Friday the 13th, but this time it was in February. Christopher Landon back to direct Jessica Roth, reprising her role as Tree, Israel Broussard coming back, as well as 5E. It did open to $9.4 million on Friday the 13th in February. It was good for fifth place that week. Alita, Battle Angel, The Lego Movie 2, the second part, Isn't It Romantic, and What Men Want comprise your top five of that week. Death Day to You went on to gross just over $28 million domestically, which puts it at 2,844th place on the all-time domestic list, one spot below the fourth Police Academy movie.
Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens on
Patrol. I was just looking that up. This is such an odd thing because I literally was just
talking. This will be very odd.
I was just talking about Steve Guttenberg post Citizens on Patrol today, and I have three screenshots of his filmography in my phone because I took a screenshot of the following 12 years after he left the Police Academy movies to show that he made good movies after he left Police Academy. That's so odd because I was literally just talking about Citizens on Patrol like 2 hours ago.
You know what else I found odd about the Police Academy series? We're going to have a little sidebar here. It's unsurprising when I say this, but it's fascinating. Every single Police Academy sequel made less than the one before it.
And they still got seven?
Seven was the lowest grossing. Police Academy 1 was the highest. Not even accidentally did one make more money. They literally peaked with the first one.
And just kept going.
Yeah. And they just kept making less money.
And here's the thing, because this is kind of horror related, why I got into that conversation.
Okay.
Is that Lupita Nyong'o movie comes out on Hulu this
Police
week.
Police Academy 8.
It's Little Monsters, yes. I think. It's a zombie movie with Josh Gad in it. And it was a thread. Somebody posted the trailer on at another horror movie night podcast from Matt Kelly, if you want to check another horror podcast. But somebody was like, it doesn't look like it would be good, but I want to try it. And somebody was like, you know, it's Lupita. I put trust that if she feels it's good enough for me to at least watch.
Okay.
And my buddy Jonathan made the joke. Jonathan London from the Geekscape podcast made the joke.
Man, we're just plugging everybody.
Yeah. They're really good podcasts.
Checks better be in
he had Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall on this week, and he had Felicia Day in last week, and then John Carpenter's wife the week before it. So,
oh, yeah, we got them coming up, too.
Yeah, it's good. Check it out. But he said, that was my rule with Steve Guttenberg post Citizens on Patrol, just like a throwaway joke. So I went to his IMDb page, and I got 12 solid years that everything he made up until Casper in 97, that was the last solid one. And then he went to crap. And I posted him. I was like, that was solid logic. Because I took it as like a throwaway joke. But then I brought the receipts to back it up.
Oh, it's
like,
not a joke.
Yeah, that's true. It was horror related. And it gave me a chance to talk about Little Monsters. And plug
Citizens
a couple
podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that as well. To really crank this back to our podcast.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
And this specific episode. This is the part in the show where I generally tell you where Happy Death Day 2 ranks on the all-time domestic list between the two movies.
I swear to God, if it's Three Men and a Little Lady, I'm going to shit my pants.
It is not. Police Academy was one spot below Happy Death Day. One spot above it, with just about $28 million, is the movie that won Elizabeth Taylor her second Academy Award. Not a Police Academy film. 1966.
I'm out. In the Dark or whatever that one was. I don't even think that was Liz Taylor, but I like that movie.
I thought I would give you a shot. It is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yep. No clue.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's spelled OOLF, I believe.
You are correct. Yeah, it is.
I'm a movie mastermind.
Yeah, so Happy Death Day between Police Academy 4 and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Two Oscar winner
odd
movies.
Bedfellows, you would say.
I think Gutenberg won for 4. I don't remember.
Probably, yeah. At least nominated. $28 million domestic is a pretty common theme this month. It's going to come up. Us made quite a bit more than that, but the next movies that we're going to be talking about for the rest of the month all grossed around that $28 million. Usually I give some context. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot also made about $28 million. So to retie that back to our Sylvester Stallone, that's
our last pre-October episode of
exactly.
The year. Well, pre-fall preview episode. Yeah.
Right. It just so happens that he had a movie that was at $28 million. It's very, very popular.
Did I ever tell you the story about... No, I'm just joking.
So you've been wanting to get into the numbers for Happy Death Day. When that movie came out in 2017, it was kind of a surprise hit. I mentioned that it came out on October the 13th, Friday the 13th. When we get those in October, I feel like that's a special holiday. And I had made up my mind, I'm going to go see a horror movie on Friday the 13th in 2017. It just so happened the only horror movie in theaters at that time was a PG-13 rated slasher. I did not realize Happy Death Day was PG-13 till I was in the car on the way to the movie. But I was like, hell with it. I'm going to go see it anyway. And I ended up falling in love with that movie. And I wasn't the only one.
No, I slept on it. I didn't see it. My memory serves me right. I was waiting for my MoviePass card when this came out. Because I signed up for MoviePass in like July.
How quickly that has gone.
I didn't get my card until like mid-November. Because there was that time where I kept getting emails like, oh, your card's going to be here. And I thought like, okay, what movie will be good for my first MoviePass movie? Happy Death. That was my circled. If it had come in this any certain number of weeks, Happy Death Day was going to be my first MoviePass movie. Ended up not getting the card till mid-November. I ended up not watching this until video on demand in like February, so maybe that's why I got thrown off on the dates. And I loved it. I immediately regretted sleeping on it.
I think it was easy to do. Like hardcore horror fans seeing PG-13, we've had such a rash of...
But I'm not even one of those.
No, I know. Neither am I, really. But we've had so many of those remakes, like The Prom Nights and Throw It In There, that used to be R, was remade for a high school audience at PG-13. This was not that. And it did really well. Worldwide, it grossed $125 million on a $4.8 million budget. That, more than anything else, is why we got the sequel that narratively I don't think we needed.
Did you have just the domestic? Yeah.
I can find it. I didn't mean to say that the domestic was unimpressive. It was $55 million domestically.
It had a $26 million opening. I just looked it up as
Yeah,
well.
it did, which...
It opened about what the other one... But he
ended up grossing totally, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It opened at 26, closed at what, 54 is what that what you said?
55-6.
55. You double the budget, because on this one you went from... You kind of 10 times it, 11 times almost, just under $5 million, and then you got right. $55 million just under.
Domestically.
Domestically, yeah. Right. So you double that. This one was a $9 million budget. What is more important to the success of this movie? Is it a Friday the 13th, or is it timing it? Because if you look at now, say this movie is released October 11th of this year. What is more important to this franchise? I understand releasing. I didn't realize it was a Friday the 13th. I just thought the Valentine's release was a cutesy thing. Is releasing it on a Friday the 13th more important than you released a horror movie in October and you 11 times the budget? if you say put it out this year on the 11th, which is almost exactly, you're up against Gemini Man, High Strung Free Dance, Jexy, and the Addams Family. And I mean, even in the weeks before, I believe it would have been the last horror movie that's wide. You have Zombieland 2 on the 18th. Maybe you're splitting audiences there, but it just feels like if you release it October 11th this year, closer to Halloween, it's set up more to succeed. Because yeah, it got the domestic haul was just barely over what the last one opened in, but the last one opened in October.
That's more it. So many times I think people are looking, and I was, that's why I went to see it. I was looking for a horror movie in October. This was the only choice. That's what I saw. This year in October, we have, I don't know that we're loaded with other choices, but I don't think it needed to be a Friday the 13th release.
Exactly.
But I can see where they thought horror movies can do well in the first quarter. We've documented that a lot. This movie,
they're usually surprise hits, though.
That's true. This movie was successful, very successful, in 2017. So I think they were of the opinion that, okay, well, we can make money with this in the first quarter, and we'll release it again on a Friday the 13th. I can see the arguments there. I think what hurt this more than when it came out or anything was the fact that people had watched the first one. And I don't believe that Christopher Landon had any interest or any thought about making a second one
No.
when he did this.
No, it definitely wasn't a planned trilogy, because there was talk when the second one came out, like,
right,
are there plans for Death Day 3? And he's like, yeah. I believe after the first one did well, I think he came up with two more ideas, but I think the first one was just a one-off for him. And then it 11 times domestically the budget.
We've said it before, like, how do you end up with sequels that you don't need? You make a ton of money the first time around. I mean, Tree's arc was done so well in the first one that we don't really need to see anything more from her.
I mean, there's a couple ways you can do this. And another thing is, it takes place in September. Tree was September 18th. It's a fall movie. Like,
right,
it's got that fall feel. So it coming out in October makes sense. One way to do the sequel is, like, it kind of is where it leads you to think at the beginning, where you go to the 19th. Now it's that Tuesday the 19th,
right,
and it's Ryan. So you think, okay, is this movie going to center on Ryan reliving it, mm-hmm, and Tree is there to kind of help out? I thought, okay, that might be interesting. But then immediately we go right back to the 18th, and now it's Tree. You're getting into this interdimensional thing, and I think there's a couple ways to do it. One is do that, follow a different character than the next day, that it just happens again.
And like the Purge that we've talked about.
And Tree is there to kind of help along, or say somebody else was stuck in the same time loop that day with a different killer, maybe on the same campus or nearby, and yeah, have it to where there's a couple ways that make sense to do it. It didn't do either one of them. I respect that it went really different and that it kind of genre jumped, but it was very derivative of the first one. It did very much just become a repeat of, just made Happy Death Day an hour and a half longer. Almost.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that they did the genre jump, because we don't see that a lot. Some of the more well-known examples, you know, Terminator, T2, Alien, Aliens, where you jump,
go from a sci-fi with the horror,
yeah,
tinge
to like an action movie.
Yeah.
This was horror to sci-fi. And yes, it was derivative in that, and I think of the death montage, where in the first one, she's trying to figure out who the killer is and she's crossing off suspects. This time, it's more or less just buying everyone time to do homework, so she's just killing herself. It's a suicide thing. But those montages felt very much the same. They hit the same touchstones, but it was just done in a weird science movie instead of a scream.
Whereas if it would have been, like, even say it's the 19th and it's a different character with a different killer and they cross paths and Tree starts to help and you have a different death montage with a different character.
Yeah.
Like, it is a different way to do it. And I'm not complaining. I liked it because she's so good and the character is so good. I liked watching her. And as unnecessary as this movie was, I am bummed that we're not getting a Death Day 3 just because I would watch her play that character for another movie gladly.
And that would have been the argument against making it centered on Ryan. Even if she was heavily featured in it, we're here to see her. because she was absolutely a breakout character. She probably makes our list even if there is no Death Day 2. People were seeing the second one to see more of that character. So I feel like if they had written her out of it, if she didn't want to come back for it, or if she was a smaller part, I personally would have felt a little shortchanged.
I don't even say look at her like that. Look at the legacy sequels, how Sarah Connor is in Terminator Dark Fate, or even how Jamie Lee Curtis is in the Halloween one, where if you have her as that kind of character, where she runs into somebody going through the same thing, and even though it's a day later, like, we're suspending disbelief, maybe she takes it upon herself to be that kick-ass character that wants to be proactive and kill the slasher, you know? So, I mean, she could still be very, very heavily involved while it centers on somebody else.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would even argue that the legacy sequel that I've seen, Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis is, I would say she's still the central character in it. There are people
I just mean you take that approach to where they're now this just badass.
Right.
Not necessarily make it a legacy, but just that character takes that approach to where they've been through the survival phase. Now they're proactive towards they're no longer the prey, they're the hunter.
I would be okay with that. I was concerned that maybe the idea would have been to have her and Ryan basically just switch roles.
No, she'd still have to be heavily involved.
Yes.
And
okay.
I mean, it'd still be a tree movie. But just mix it up a little bit more. I mean, I didn't mind the sci-fi. It was ridiculous. I like Steve Zissou or whatever his name is. I like him in anything he shows up in. She's just so good. Like, I'd watch her do anything.
That's kind of the thing is, since we've been doing the show, I think Maika Monroe kind of jumped out doing horror movies to where we'll watch her do other things. Anya Taylor-Joy is another one. I kind of feel like Jessica Roth is now in that category.
Oh, I'd love to watch her. She doesn't, I don't think she really has anything coming, but she's one of those where I will absolutely watch her do anything just because of how good she was in this. And I'm interested in whatever Chris Landon does from here. Not necessarily based on this movie to you, but based on Happy Death Day. I'm definitely interested to see what he would do next.
So she's got Valley Girl that's completed, and then this movie called Body Brokers, which comes out in 2020. She's got a couple things. Body Brokers, it looks like she's leading with Frank Grillo, Michael Kenneth Williams, Melissa Leo. Speaking of Terminator, Thomas Dekker from the TV show. That looks like it's going to come out early 2020. And that one may be still in the horror genre, but she's certainly one that I'll seek out now. There are movies or projects that Maika Monroe does. Like, I'd love to see her keep doing horror stuff.
Like, I haven't seen Villains yet, but I want to.
Yeah.
I watched that Netflix movie she was in with Gary Oldman, the one that I thought was Mom, but it was different.
They showed so much to me in a genre that I like that I'm willing to give them a chance in other things. Where if Jessica Roth's doing a romantic comedy, that's not my genre, but I like her, and I like the personality she brought to that character that whether or not it's in the rom-com, I'll give it a shot.
Not just her. She brought that character to life, but there's also a lot to work with in horror movies. They're just kind of there to survive. They don't really get a lot to work with. I like that this one, since there's really not, like, the baby face is the killer, but it's not the Jason or the Freddy. It's not really a character that you're invested in. So instead of building up the mythology of Babyface, it kind of dug into Tree as a person. And I do like this approach. Her mom's still alive. Like, she got to do lunch with her mom. Her boyfriend now that she met yesterday is now dating her rival. So that was kind of a cool thing, is like, do you want to go back? Your mom's here in this one. I liked that dynamic to where you can stay here and have your mom still, or you go back. You know, it's basically picking the dude you hooked up with yesterday over your mom who birthed you. So tough choices. Although Israel Burchard, cutie. No Noah Centineo, though. But
fair enough. They did do some different things that I give them credit for really trying something. Knowing that, okay, now I got to do a sequel that I really wasn't planning on doing, it would have been easy to go the Ryan route and just say, oh, now he's stuck in the time loop and she's got to help him through it. And it may have been good, but I give Landon a lot of credit for saying, you know what, fuck it. I'm not afraid to do something. This movie, I thought, yeah, okay, we've had time loop movies before. It's not insanely original, but I thought that having that set in a horror with a slasher killer where she's trying to figure out his identity, I thought that was really a neat thing to try and do, difficult to pull off. And then this, I think, was equally as difficult to pull off. And I think he did as good of a job as you could expect somebody doing a sequel to a movie that they didn't really envision a sequel.
Well, he didn't write the first one. He directed it. Scott Lobdell wrote the first one. I just assumed he was writer-director because he has sole credit on To You.
Mm-hmm.
But he did write and direct Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which I thought was way underrated. That was another one that came and went that was really, really good. You know, he wrote Paranormal Activity 2 through the Marked Ones and this viral movie that I watched, and it was okay. So, I mean, he's got a quality horror
pedigree, for sure.
Yeah, so to see him like at the forefront transition to directing. His directing credits don't go as deep. Did the Marked Ones, the Paranormal Activity, but then just Scout's Guide, which really funny.
Yeah.
Funnier than it should have been. And then Happy Death Day, funnier and better than it should have been. And then To You was fine for what it was.
Right. I think it's as good as one could have expected it to be.
He's one of those where if I see a movie that doesn't look that great, but then I see it's from Christopher Landon, I'm into it. What was the one, the Marky Mark movie this year, where I didn't really have any interest in it, but then I realized it was the sex drive guy. I mean, it was last year, but him and Rose Byrne bought those kids.
Yeah, Instant Family.
Yeah, that was good. You know, like I gave it a shot because of Sex Drive, because of Sean Anders, and it was enjoyable. So that's kind of how I feel about Chris Landon now, where if I feel like if he's doing it at this point in his career, I feel like it's going to be at least enjoyable.
As much as Jessica Roth kind of broke out in our eyes with this, I think Landon did the same thing. He, at least the best I can tell, doesn't have anything announced or coming up to check out. But
I think they were banking on that third one.
It's possible.
It feels, because there was a lot of talk of three when they were promoting two. So I feel like he kind of had that in the back burner, and then now
he was saving,
and Blumhouse isn't going to do it. So,
which there's nothing saying that couldn't get snapped up by Netflix or something.
His tweet was like, "Oh, people keep talking about Happy Death Day 3. Let me just be clear, it's not happening unless Netflix wants to make it."
Right.
Like, so I feel like he was kind of banking on that.
And Netflix doesn't seem to be overly excited about making horror stuff.
They do horrors, but they don't.
Here and there.
They haven't done a lot of sequel. Like, they'll pick up TV shows and pick them up, but they haven't really done a lot of sequels to not their movies.
Rescuing sequels
from
movies, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've done that with
TV shows,
Arrested
galore,
Development.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
Full House. Like,
there's quite a history
Lucifer,
of that.
Lucifer, like, but with movies, they haven't really, nobody really has. Like, Hulu or Amazon haven't really jumped on that train yet either.
Sure.
I'd be okay without three, but
right.
I would watch the hell out of three.
I
pretty
guess,
much is
I guess
where I stand.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was okay without two, but I saw it opening night. Three, I'd probably wait for VOD on that one too. So nothing bad to say about it. If I were speaking with somebody that I knew liked slasher movies, I would have absolutely zero qualms telling them, check out Happy Death Day. I stand behind that 100%. Happy Death Day to You. Maybe if you just really enjoyed the first one, check it out. I don't think I would.
That's basically where I'm at. If you get anything out of this episode about Happy Death Day to You, is that if you haven't watched Happy Death Day, go watch it. If after that you don't want to watch To You or you don't need to, I get it. That's fine. But at least watch the first one because it's really fun. It's really enjoyable. It's a little bit of a different take on the slasher movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was done really, really well.
And it's got a very charismatic final.
And if you really, really like it, watch To You because you'll like it. It's very much the same movie.
It's like, not going to change your life.
Yeah. If you really, really like Happy Death Day, go ahead and watch the second one. There's worse things you could do for 90 minutes. So I would never say like, oh, you got to go watch both Happy Death Days. Watch the first one and then take it from there. Start slow.
I would say that you absolutely do have to come back next week because how can you listen to half of our list of our favorite Final Girls and not get the 10 best ones? We're going to hit into our top 10 next week and the relative smooth sailing that was number 20 through 11 is long gone, let me tell you. We've got some controversy on the horizon. To find out what that's all about, come back next week. We'll have another movie episode for you at the end of the week, and I believe that is going to be Midsummer. So we're
in mid-October. Exactly. We're going to go back to midsummer.
We are right in the middle of October, so we'll hit midsummer, and then we'll finish it out with Ready or Not. We've got four really solid horror movies from this year, all featuring really strong final
girls.
And it's
awesome because it wasn't like, oh, we have these four movies we have to do. Yeah. We had like two or three others that we could have done. So yeah. It's a solid year for horrors.
We just picked the ones that it so happened that we really like Us. Adelaide's on the list. We really, really like Tree. Happy Death Day to You came out this year, so it was a good excuse to talk about her and that franchise again. And then we both like Midsummer and Ready or Not, so we decided that those will be our last two movie episodes this month to coincide with our top 10 in the favorite final girls. So next week, we've got the top 10 and Midsummer to look forward to, so you got that going for you, which is nice. But until then,
keep it up.